This is Dr. Cassieri with Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we begin our lesson number 12 in our course on the doctrine of God. Last time we were together, we started to look at some introductory remarks on the fear of the Lord. We're covering on our course outline the material under Roman numeral 8, entitled The Fear of the God, Fear of God. What we want to look now at as we begin lesson number 12 is what the Bible says specifically the fear of the Lord is. First of all, we want to look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter number 8 with me. Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, in verse number 13. Proverbs 8, 13, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And I think that's very clear, amen. I don't think you need to go to a Bible college or to study the Greek or the Hebrew in the original language, amen, to understand what God is saying here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, amen. To hate evil. If someone hates evil, then they fear God. And we can see today, just by looking at our society and the world in general, that most people do not fear the Lord because they do not hate evil. Amen? And, of course, we see the evil that is going on in our world at this time. Amen? We see such things as abortion on demand going on in this country. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Obviously, that's evil. And the persons that conduct these abortions, and a person that hates or has an abortion, does not fear the Lord because they would hate the evil. They wouldn't be participating in that awful thing. Amen? Or we just look at the movie industry and the television industry and the magazine industry, and we could go on and on and on. And, of course, these industries as a whole, no one fears the Lord, because all that we see coming from, be it films or television or magazines or even newspaper, amen, is evil. Amen. The chief executives and those that work for these companies obviously do not fear the Lord, or they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be working for these companies, amen. I mean, it's just even the, we look at, as we live in this computer age, and I'm not going to pick on computers. There's a lot of good that computers can do, but there's also a lot of things out there, amen, that are on computers now, on that, the internet in particular. I just think of the prolific amount of pornography now that's on that internet, amen. And obviously for anyone to look at it, amen, to put it on there in the first place, do not fear the Lord, or they wouldn't do it because it's evil. They don't hate evil, amen. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, when we have these folks out there, these so-called educated folks that turn the other way, amen, when our politicians do things that are evil, amen, and they just look the other way. They don't care because they don't fear the Lord. Amen. They don't hate evil. the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Is to hate it, is to despise it, amen. I think about what Adolf Hitler did during World War II and how he exterminated and annihilated over 6 million Jews. We call it a Holocaust because that's what it was. That was a great evil, amen? But you know something? If you study the history books and different things, one group that was very silent about it was the Roman Catholic Church, and the head of the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, amen? You know why? Well, Adolf Hitler was a Roman Catholic, and a lot of those that ran those concentration camps were Roman Catholics, amen? The fear of the Lord, amen. The fear of the Lord, again, is to hate evil. And again, we said earlier, one of the problems with our country, or the main problem with our country, is that it does not fear God, amen. And we can see that evidenced by the evil that's going and taking place in our country right now. I think what our public schools have become, amen, they've become a place where our children can receive birth control devices, amen. You can get a condom in school, amen, but you can't pray, amen. You can get shot up with guns and stabbed with knives in our public schools, amen. But no, heaven forbid, you couldn't have the Ten Commandments there, amen? There's a lot of things that you can get in school, but you can't get any things of the Lord that were once there, amen? And the reason for that is there's no fear of the Lord, because of the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Amen. The next one we want to look at is found in Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't say the fear of the Lord is, or the beginning, it doesn't say, excuse me, the beginning of wisdom is getting a education at an Ivy League college, amen, be it Harvard or Yale or whatever it may be, Dartmouth, Brown, amen. No, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My dear friend, if you fear the Lord, truly fear the Lord God, then you have more wisdom than most of the highly educated people in this country or in the world for that matter, amen? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where is wisdom attained? From this book. The Bible tells us if anyone lacks wisdom, we're just to ask it of God, amen. James, the book of James, with me, if you would, the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth it to all men liberally and bridleth not, and it shall be given him. So again, wisdom doesn't begin with a college education. Wisdom doesn't begin with a high school education. Wisdom doesn't begin with a major in physics. Wisdom doesn't begin with an understanding of Einstein's theory of relativity. No, the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. And until a man learns to fear God, he has not begun to learn anything. Amen. A man starts to get wise when he begins to learn to fear God. The fear of the Lord, then, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. See, again, as I've said before, if you're a Bible believer, amen, then this Bible, this Word of God, this King James Bible should be your final authority for everything, not just for some things or a few things, but for everything. In our final authority, the Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't matter what the world or society says or thinks. Amen. Because whatever they say or think is going to be counter to the book. Amen. That's right. So you might as well get used to it. Amen. You're going to be, if you stick with this book, the majority of times you're going to be contrary to this world, to our society, amen. And people aren't going to like you, amen. It's not, don't take it personal, it's not that they don't like you, it's they don't like what's in this book, amen. But regardless of what the world says, remember, remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? So this is where, or this is what we should be studying and reading and meditating on. Amen. Is this book here? King James Bible, AV 1611. Amen? God's preserved word. God's wisdom. Amen. So we see then, number two, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now the next thing we want to look at is what we find in Proverbs chapter 15 with me. Proverbs chapter 15. In Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15 and verse number 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. And then let's tie that together, amen, with Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Isaiah 33:6. Isaiah 33:6, we read, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Amen. What this is telling us then is the fear of the Lord, then, is a very, very valuable thing. It's worth more than silver or gold because it keeps you out of trouble that silver and gold can't get you out of, amen? When Paul said to the New Testament Christians in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. He said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, amen. And what he's doing is warning you that a person can do things if they don't fear God, that they can't fix with money. Amen? So we're saying the Bible says the fear of the Lord is treasure. It's a very valuable thing in many ways. See, it's better to have the fear of the Lord, is what the Word of God is telling us, than a lot of material possessions. Amen. Physical things. Because that fear of the Lord is your treasure. It's more valuable than many material possessions, amen. So really, if you have the fear of the Lord, you have a great treasure. Amen. It's worth a lot. It's going to keep you out of trouble. I believe the more things we have, the more trouble, the more we want, and the more trouble we get into, amen, because we have a tendency to be covetous, amen. Even if we're Christians, our flesh is still unsaved, and our eyes seem to see things that we want, amen, that the world puts in front of us, especially if we watch that idiot box, that television, amen. Because that's all that is telling us, giving us a false sense of need, what we need. You need this and your life will be better, amen. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure. The Bible talks a lot about being content with what we have, amen. Being content. Over there in... I believe it's 2 Timothy. Actually, it's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Content. Because if you have the fear of the Lord, amen, you've got a great treasure, amen. You have a great treasure if you have the fear of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. See that? Be content for with such things that you have. What do you have? He goes on to say, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My dear friend, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior, amen, you've got everything. And if you fear him, if you fear God, you have great treasure, amen. You have great treasure. You have something more valuable than Bill Gates, amen, who is a billionaire. You have a great treasure. He may have a great treasure materially, but spiritually you have a great treasure in the fear of God because it's going to keep you out of trouble. Amen. It's a great treasure. Next, we want to look at in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 14 with me, verse 27. In Proverbs 14, verse 27, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. I remember when I was a kid and I had to study the great explorers. We studied about Ponce de Leon, who came to this country, amen, looking for the fountain of youth and spent most of his time in a swamp. He and his men with yellow fever and flies and mosquitoes, amen. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Because see, from God comes eternal life through his Son, amen. And if you think about it, if you fear the Lord, you'll do what he says. Amen. You'll say, if you fear the Lord, you'll do what he says in this book. Amen. For example, over there in the Gospel of John, chapter number 3 and verse 36 of the Gospel of John. John the Apostle puts it right out belt high where everybody can get it. He says in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." But the other side of that is, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Jesus is the fountain of life, amen. If you fear God, you fear his word, then you'll believe on his Son. Because the Bible says that the wrath of God will abide on you if you don't believe on the Son of God, amen. He's a fountain of life, amen. He is a fountain of life. He certainly is, amen. He says, Jesus said, "If any man, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That's where true life can be found, is in the Son of God. If you fear the Lord, if you fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Because if you fear the Lord, you fear his word, in other words, you believe what he says, amen, that you're a sinner if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, amen, that you're condemned already to die and go to hell, amen. But the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. As Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. There's a great invitation in the Bible, is there not? In the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelation, that says in the Spirit in Revelations chapter 22, verse 17, "In the Spirit and the bride said, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Amen. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Next, we want to see Psalm 19 with me, verse 9. Psalm 19, verse number 9. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear, it says, of the Lord is clean. In other words, it'll keep you out of trouble. It's sanctifying. Amen. It separates you. It will make you careful on how you walk. If you think about it, if David had feared the Lord like he should have, he would have not taken Bathsheba as his wife and murdered her husband. Do you know how David got into trouble and got unclean temporarily? Well, the answer is by not fearing God. The fear of the Lord is not negative. That's the way society and the devil wants you to make it think. The fear of the Lord is not negative. It's not destructive. It's not damaging. Amen. No. It does not give you a guilt complex. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's clean, enduring forever. It's nothing harmful. It's something that God has given you and I to keep us on the straight and narrow. Amen. To know, first of all, that there are repercussions as Christians if we are not obedient to Him. Amen. That we're going to be punished here on this earth, because we can't be punished later on, because our sins as Christians have to be dealt with here and now. Amen. But the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's not dirty. There's nothing wrong with it. Amen. We think about growing up as kids. Sometimes we had the fear of our fathers. Amen. It kept us out of trouble, because we knew if we did something wrong that there'd be some repercussions as a result of it. Amen. Either a belt to our bottom, or a switch to our bottom, or something. Amen. Kept us clean. Amen. It kept us out of trouble. And though it, sometimes we didn't like it, amen, it certainly benefited us, amen, as we grew up, amen. Yes, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, amen. And if you want to live forever, amen, then you need to fear the Lord, amen. Fear the Lord is clean, enduring forever, amen. Then we want to see also about the fear of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse number 28. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence in godly fear. What we want to see here is the fear of the Lord is godly. Amen. Is godly. The fear of the Lord will make us, amen, live a godly life. Amen. Godly fear. There's nothing wrong with it. we've been looking at specifically of what the Bible has to say about the fear of the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong. It's healthy to fear the Lord. No matter how much people talk about guilt complexes and upsetting people and disturbing people, all they're doing is attacking the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in this world is in this world to convict men of sin because they believe not on Christ, and if they don't believe on Christ, they go to hell, amen? Therefore, the fear of the Lord is a negative conviction brought upon the sinner by the Holy Ghost. And when you hear a man talk to someone out of fearing God, you are dealing with a man who is paid professionally, whose life is dedicated to overthrowing the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible itself teaches the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a treasure. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord endures forever. The fear of the Lord is godly, not ungodly. Therefore, a man who does not fear God does not hate evil. He is not wise. He is broke spiritually, amen. He will not live forever. He is unclean. And he is ungodly. According to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, Psalm 111, verse 10, Proverbs 15, 16, Proverbs 14, 27, Psalm 19, 9, and Hebrews 12, 8, a word to the wise is sufficient. And if you are not wise, then don't forget, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what we need to do as Christians is starting right now, putting God first and men second. For a fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen. We see what men will do when they don't fear God, when they fear man. Pontius Pilate crucified Christ, amen, because he feared the crowd, the religious leaders, the Jews, amen. He was more concerned about being politically correct. Amen. He feared men. And that's the driving factor in our society today about this being politically correct. We no longer have statesmen. Amen. We have politicians. Politicians fear men. Amen. They do things, they react and do things because they fear men. What men may say, what men may do, they may vote them out of office instead of doing the right thing, amen? Fear of man bringeth a snare, amen? The fear of man bringeth a snare. Countless atrocities have been done because man has not feared God, but feared what men would do or say, amen? And it brings a snare. one who fears God does the right thing. One who fears men does the wrong thing. Amen. Again, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. If you're already saved, remember there's one thing you never have to fear. You never have to fear the day of judgment and going to hell. Because we're told in Isaiah chapter 26, 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, amen, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one thing the child of God never has to fear, is the day of judgment and going to hell. And praise the Lord for that. So we've seen clearly then what the Bible has to say, what the fear of the Lord is. Amen. Very clearly, I believe each one of these verses is very clearly stated, easily understood. Amen. If you fear the Lord, amen, we're going to look at results of fearing God later on. But I'll tell you right now, overall, you're going to have a much better life on this earth. You're going to run into a lot less trouble, amen. We know that the Bible says that, you know, as a Christian, for the Lord, we're going to suffer persecution. We know that. The Bible specifically tells us that yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, amen. So there's an amount of persecution just because we're living a godly life that we can't escape. But I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of trouble that you and I can avoid by fearing the Lord, amen. I think of what Joseph said when he was being tempted of Potiphar's wife. And he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There was a man that feared God. Amen. He called it for what it was, wickedness. Wickedness, not so much in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God. I believe that Joseph obviously feared God. Amen. To have an attitude of his heart like that. How about Daniel? I believe Daniel feared God too, because he said he purposed in his heart. Amen. He purposed. Amen. Not to do wrong. He purposed. He put into play. There was no question. Amen. About what he would do and what he wouldn't do. Amen. Daniel. Daniel. I believe it's in Daniel. It's in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, Daniel feared God more than he feared men. He wanted to be right with God. He didn't care about obeying man, amen? The same thing can be said about him when he went into the lion's den. When the order was given against calling upon anyone else except the king. He didn't care. He didn't care about fearing man or what man would do to him. It says that he did what he did before. He went there and he got down on his knees and he prayed and he looked towards Jerusalem, amen? I believe Daniel did that because he really feared God. Again, we need more men in this country. From the president on the way down, even in our pulpits, amen, that fear God, that have a godly fear, amen. We can speak of many that fear God, amen. Not only these great names, Daniel, amen, Joseph, but I also think of the harlot Rahab, amen. Remember the case of the harlot Rahab in Jericho? She hid the spies that Joshua had sent, amen. She didn't fear men or what they might do to her. I believe she really feared God because she had heard the things that God had done for the nation of Israel. Amen. The fear of the Lord. So many today in the body of Christ that didn't fear God, didn't have a godly fear, but feared men. And I really believe when you fear men instead of God, then you begin to compromise, amen? And we know of many of a godly man that started out right, but somewhere along the way they began to fear man more than God, and they're compromised. Oh, they may have a big ministry, they may have thousands, amen, but now that their message is watered down, amen, because they feared men, amen. Just like in the days there were those that were followers of Jesus, but they kept quiet because they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogues, amen, and all the privileges and so forth and so that they had. I believe with all my heart, if you're going to do anything for God, fear Him. Amen. Don't compromise. Don't care what man has to say. Because the fear of the man, fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen. The fear of man, okay, bringeth a snare. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. The fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen. Well, that concludes our material right now in Lesson 12. We looked at what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord, it is what it is specifically. And when we come together and we begin Lesson number 13, we'll take up the material under the motives for fearing God. So this ends Lesson number 12.